Whatever was in the jar was something fragrant that the lady brought to Jesus. And it's just a wonderful time of the year, this late spring into summer in the rain, to talk about fragrance, because there's so much of creation that's given us fragrance at the minute. And so I brought three pictures of fragrances that kind of evoke memories of people and of places for me, and you've probably got your own. And I think just fragrance is just such a powerful thing. I still can't smell tomatoes on the vine without thinking of my nan. But the three pictures here are memories that remind me of memories with Graham and the boys, and they transport me to a different place. The first is orange blossom. We took a little trip in at Easter, and on the hill where we were staying were all these countless orange trees and olive trees. But Graham became a bit fixated about the orange trees. They were just like out of reach, and for a 6'5" guy, that's saying kind of something, isn't it? But they were producing this lovely blossom, and one day we were just like driving down the road, and we suddenly like screeched to a halt. And Gray kind of left us on the side of a very busy road as he was running up the road. And I was, what's he doing? And then all of a sudden, I craned my neck to see what he was doing. And all of a sudden, I could see him reaching into this branch. It was an orange within picking distance. And I said, "That's your daddy," to the boys. And this little voice from the back of the car said, "You have married an awesome man." So we celebrated that awesome man's birthday on another trip, and that's where the jasmine comes from. We were at this beautiful lake, and wherever we walked around the lake, there were just shrubs of, you know, this beautiful jasmine, just the sweetness in the air. And when I came back, I was like, I've got to buy it, and so I bought it, and they're just about to come out in the front garden, and so that I can be transported to that time by the lake. And wisteria, this is really bad. Wisteria reminds the boys of me because I've trained them. Because I've had a dog for 6 years, and every late April and into May, I walk with my dog and go past the wisteria, and I've practically shoved their heads into the bush and made them smell it and recognize it and see it. And I've trained them to know when it's not quite in flower, but it's just kind of coming out. And every year I say to them, "Oh, look." And they say, "Oh, Mummy, the wisteria's out." When we're living from home, away from home, and we see the wisteria, we will go to a shop and buy you a birthday card, because by the time it comes into bloom, you will have it. So don't judge me. I'm the mum of boys, and they now know that when they grow older, to go and buy the birthday card when they see the wisteria coming out. Conditional training. So bad, isn't it? But so no doubt you've all got your own fragrances that trigger memories and emotions with you. And I really love blossom, and it's a confirmation of spring. It transforms kind of the harsh lines of roads into really inviting walkways. And I was walking up the road from the common up to our office in the spring, and the blossom was being blown by the wind, and I just remember walking up it, and it just felt like a bride. And Ali and I were out the other day. I'd love to say we were in a coffee shop, but we were in a pub, and we were in a pub, and there was this mum shaking the blossom onto her daughters, and they were like dancing in the common, weren't they? It was just so lovely, all this pink stuff. And my friend lives in DC, and she has blossom where she lives. And we, as you know, before I've spoken about, we have Skype links to friends and family who are across the world and stuff. And so I put my laptop on the worktop while I'm preparing my dinner and sit at the table and drink tea, or we've had a glass of wine together or two. And we create space in our day to share. And these two photos are the tidal basin in DC. And I think it's the Jefferson Memorial, is that right? Is he an American president? It's a memorial, and the one on the left is clearly not in spring, and the one on the right is, and it's just, it just transforms the basin. And what you can't see from this picture is all around the basin are all of the cherry blossoms. And it's a real crowd puller. And my friend's seen proposals of marriage, and it just brings people, the scent and the beauty just brings people to them. Except one day she Skyped me and she was like, "Well, I didn't smell the blossom today." And I said, "Oh, you didn't?" She said, "No, today has been a day of walking into other people's wind." Unlucky. Four times. She said, "Four times it happened today. Four times I walked into other people's wind." In 2 Corinthians 2:15, Paul says, "For we are the aroma of Christ amongst those who are being saved, amongst those who are perishing." The message says, we are the exquisite fragrance. Because of Christ, we give off a sweet scent rising to God. And so I just wondered what we felt God's aroma was. I imagine it to be a bit like the warm jasmine, you know, a soft and warm and joyful and fresh. And so as Christians, I wonder, what is our fragrance? What is the fragrance that we give off? Are we like the Pharisees in the reading? Are we the stale wind that goes before people, turning people off Christ? Or are we the hopeful, transforming scent of Jesus? And do we really spread God's aroma? We were, Liz and Ali and myself worked together, and we took the girls that we work with to Manna, which is the little coffee shop attached to Christchurch, and we took them there for a little treat a few weeks ago. And the people in there were just being really joyful. And one of the girls said, "Man, what is it about this place? Like, it's so different. People are just like happy and joyful." And it was really good to say, you know, that's, they have the love of God. And, you know, that blossom, that beautiful fragrance that people were giving off within that Christian setting, we could point and just really glorify God within that moment. So going back to this reading, it's said to be just before Passover. And it's the, as we go on to see, it's the build up to Jesus handing Jesus over to the authorities and culminating in Jesus' death. And the identity of the lady is thought and assumed to be Mary Magdalene. And the alabaster jar is really significant because they were used to carry expensive perfume, and it is suggested and stated in some of the versions of the Bible that we read that this woman was indeed a prostitute. And so the perfume would have been used to both entice her punters in, but also to remove any unpleasant smells. So it was the tool of her trade. It was everything that she had. And in her bringing the alabaster jar to Jesus' feet, it's seen as her giving up her simple life. It's saying, "I'm giving up the tools of my trade, and I'm wanting to lavish it on you. This is wasted, and it's not for eternity, and I'm going to just give you my all, and I'm going to just give everything to you. I'm giving my whole life up to you, and please heal me." And if it was indeed Mary, we do know that she continues to follow him right to the foot of the cross where he died, and he appears to her in the garden after he rose from the dead. And we know she stayed true to that healed moment, because we see later on in Acts that she was indeed still there with the disciples. The perfume is worth a few months in today's terms of wages, and the Pharisees were furious that a lowly, sinful woman was here with Jesus and showing such extravagant waste on him. And it's something Jill picked up. She said, "I never kind of realized that they were the Pharisees." So they would have been, you know, all ritualistic and doing everything that they should have done and all very law-abiding. And if you go on to read the rest of the story, Jesus said, you didn't even give me the water. You know, you didn't even give me the water to wash the dust off my feet. And yet she's bathed me in this extravagance, and she's doing it now. I wonder, her career is also her sinful label. You know, she is a prostitute, and it's the sin and also the label of her career. And I wonder if we came with our badges of sin worn as T-shirts, what would ours say? And would we be brave enough to wear them? Would we be brave enough if we had the opportunity to have an encounter with Jesus, you know, at that moment in time, 2,000 years ago, would we have been brave enough to even enter the room? You know, she goes with all this sin and shame. Would we have been brave enough to ask him to heal us? She approaches Jesus from behind, and she sits at his feet weeping and begins to bathe his feet with her tears. She carries all of her sin and shame. She says, I am not worthy. She doesn't hold his hand or beg him or look him in the eye. She doesn't speak, and she cries. I don't think I really realized the impact of what that might feel like until we were here at Revive yesterday. And Jane gave this amazing talk about mindfulness and being in the moment, and I've just been really trying to practice it just over the last 24 hours. And then Dee told us how to massage each other's hands and invited us to massage each other's hands. And the person that I was with is just, I love and admire and respect. And she's a real servant of God. And I knew that she would say, let me do you first. So I was like, no, I'm going to do you first. And Dee told us not to talk, just to kind of be mindful in that moment. And my mind was of thanks and gratitude for this beautiful lady who was sitting with me. And as I massaged her hands without words, I just prayed like this, thanks. And afterwards, I just felt really emotional. And as I finished, she said to me, God, I felt really emotional. And it was like she could feel my love and feel my thanks into her life. And so it just gave me a little insight into, wow, you know, that guilt and that shame that that woman with the alabaster jar must have felt as she went without words and just sitting at Jesus' feet and crying. He must have felt that, you know. He must have felt that. So not only is this poor woman ashamed, the Pharisees tell her in their words that she should be ashamed too. When I reread this in preparation for the talk, I was in tears. I literally sat at my table and I read it and I just gasped, because she made me look again through her actions at what Jesus has done for us. I felt like when I reread it, without her saying a single word, her actions say of her absolute belief in him, of him being a healer, and of him being the avenue to a clean, sin-free, guilt-free future, everything within her actions. And for those of you who've received communion in a more kind of liturgical setting, and in my kind of Catholic childhood, I'd read it and I was just like, oh my goodness, like this, what she does, she goes up to him and she says, Lord, without saying a thing, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. Um, and he heals her. And that's the invitation for us all, isn't it? To just go up to Jesus and just to say, I'm not worthy. You know, heal me. And he goes on with you know, after the story, and he says, you know what? You Pharisees, you ritualistic people who are doing faith, you've got it wrong. You've got it wrong. She's not got it wrong. You've got it wrong. Because in the build-up to his death, he knew he was going to die. And he says, she's making the most of me whilst I'm here. You're going to embalm me in this stuff when I'm dead. She's not waiting for me to die. She's celebrating me in life. She knows the path to eternal life. I'm the place of forgiveness. And when I looked at it, I said, you know, Lord, is this the first communion? Is this like the first living communion? When we, you know, in when he goes on to do the Last Supper, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And when we're doing communion, I'm doing checking my kids back from encounter and bright and happy in remembrance of Jesus. And I'm making sure that I'm not bumping into the queue in remembrance of Jesus. And I'm playing, you know, revel roulette with the alcoholic or non-alcoholic wine. Another month, got the Ribena, done. In remembrance of Jesus. But I'm not actually all the time sitting and remembering and being mindful in remembrance of Jesus. And what I find as well is at the Last Supper, he then goes and washes the disciples' feet, which is what she's done before the Last Supper. I mean, so I just think she's a wonderful visual aid for us when we're going into communion of what we are to do in remembrance of him. When we're taking the body of Christ and we're taking the blood of Christ, we are saying, heal me. Thank you for healing me. And I had a chat with Chris Wicks about it, and I said, that's how we should go to communion, Chris. We're not worthy. And he really challenged me, and he said, no, we shouldn't go as worthless. We should not go as worthless, because we're forgiven. Jesus died for us in order for us to be worthy for to receive communion. Our sins are forgiven. And he's right. What the Mary does is she comes with a veil of shame, and the Lord removes it from her and takes it to the cross. And it's no wonder that he chose her to appear to after he rose from the dead, is it? You know, she got him. She knew the significance of him. She showed it whilst he was still alive. Just last month, there was the Invictus Games, which took place in Orlando, Florida. And the games are for wounded, injured, and sick servicemen and women. And we saw a young American U.S. medic who was horrifically injured in Iraq, and she took part in the games. The last time the games were on, she was here in the U.K., and she caught an infection which threatened her life. And she was saved by U.K. doctors. And on receiving her fourth medal at this Invictus Games, she gave it straight back to Prince Harry. And she said, will you take this back to the medics in the UK for me who saved my life? She paused in the midst of her wonderful achievement and remembered to say thank you. And I wonder if I always remember to say thank you, to remember our life saver and our life giver. And that place can be for us at communion. I wanted to see if we could get an additional communion today, just to, with Chris and Bill not being here as ordained ministers, we can't. So I just wondered if we would just do something if you want to, and you're not, you don't have to at all. But I've brought, last night I The rain battered my roses in the front garden, and so I just picked up all the petals and just kind of seeped it in some water, and so the water's smelling of roses now. It's just smelling really nice. And so what I wondered if you wanted to do is collect a tea light, if you want. These are at either end. And they're actually jasmine-flavoured tea lights. And so I just thought we could be reminded of the fragrant light of the world. But if you're not ready just to receive Jesus and just to acknowledge forgiveness, but you're still feeling like you need to be cleansed, you can just cleanse your hands anyway. There are just a couple of bowls of water if you want to just, you know, just wipe just some stuff off your hands and that you just want to leave it at the cross. And as we're just doing that, I just wondered if we can pause and reflect and give thanks to remember that we are the fragrance of Christ. We are to be Christ's aroma, the blossom that adds beauty to a place, that transforms. We are forgiven sinners. We're forgiven sinners who are worthy of his love, and we remain thankful because we are saved. Let's remember to pause and thank our Saviour. And unlike the sinful woman in the Bible, we are invited to meet with Jesus face to face, like a bride meets her groom. Jesus stands with us, removes our veil, and as he turns to face us with love and forgiveness, abundant love. Amen.